Hello, and welcome to NWR Connectivity episode 384, the one where we spend the whole time wondering how Alex blew a 12-star lead in Mario Party Monthly. I'm still in awe. Like, I tuned in being like, this is going to be great. Alex is going to do laps on them, and he did not.
So the thing about that
also,
board.
John Raritan and Matt Slavyak are both here. We're going to talk about the new Super Mario Brothers games, but first, a recap of Mario Party Monthly, which you can watch the first Friday of every month over at our Twitch channel. And I believe the recaps all go up on the NWR Plays YouTube channel.
Yes. I felt kind of behind on that channel for a little bit. So it's just like I caught up in that everything is uploaded and it's just every day a new one goes up until we're caught up. So.
Is it not automated? I always thought a robot did that.
Oh, that's no, you? It is not remotely automated. There's no way to automate it.
Okay. I figured that it was just beaming those to it from Twitch.
No, well, that's why it wasn't updated for like 3 months for a little bit. Because it's all me.
Okay.
And whenever Xander does his own stream, he uploads it because he knows I'm not going to in a timely manner. But as of recording right now, the one that went up today was me and Joe's Kingdom Hearts stream from last week. So by the time you hear this,
pretty close.
The Mario Party VOD should be up. And So I got to say that this board in particular, it in fairness, does allow you to get a lot of stars really fast. That is kind of the idea of the board. But the thing is that Alex got that early lead through an event on the board where every player puts in one star and then one player is randomly chosen to get all four of them. So this is part of why ever since we began this, since the very first Mario Party Monthly, we have always done, you start the game already having two stars because that means you have something to lose right away. And by God, did we lose something right away because Alex won that event twice in a row. So he started off with an 8-star lead. The rest of us had 0. And yes, this is a board where you can get a lot of stars really quickly. But Alex can still get those stars really quickly. And he failed to do so.
Yeah. He got third place, right? Because I think Joe...
Yeah, I think
Joe wound up losing. Joe couldn't come back. There was a moment near the end where it seemed like Alex was gonna just straight up lose.
Oh yeah, he came real close to that. But So his final star count was 11. So that means he overall got 3 more stars than he effectively started with. While I had 13, Xander had 12, and Joe had 8. So like. Alex got really lucky up front and then really wasn't for a long while.
But anyway,
he's not here to defend himself.
Yeah. Shame. But we're going to be talking about new Super Mario Brothers games to finish up our 2D Mario game club that we regret doing. as we are now, as of recording, 10 days away from Super Mario Brothers Wonder. I guess listen to this as you get ready or as you're playing Super Mario Brothers Wonder and you can remember the past of 2D Mario, the previous 20 years of 2D Mario mm-hmm. is contained oh God, in, in
new all, Super all Mario encapsulated Brothers. In one game happening over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are going to go game by game, kind of give the context historically, because I think it's important here. And I guess we'll kind of go from there, starting with the first new Super Mario Brothers game, which came out on the Nintendo DS in 2006. This is a weird game in the fact that depending on how you look at it, it is either the first 2D Mario game in 11 years or like 15.
I guess 2006 was really that late.
It was announced at the beginning of 2006. And it was coming out. It came out in May 2006.
I remember that as being like a big part of my experience in middle school. And I was almost in high school when that came out.
I was on the verge of graduating high school.
I was a freshman.
But I will say, whenever I think back to New Super Mario Brothers DS, I always feel like it's 2004, 2005. Like, mm-hmm. it really, that the fact that it's 2006 always kind of blows my mind. Oh, actually, I take that back. It was announced before January 2006 because it was playable at E3 2005. Wikipedia is wrong.
And I will say, for that time gap, I mean, I think that 15 years is more accurate, just because, not because Yoshi's Island sucks, which it does, but just because like it's a follow up to Mario World, not Yoshi's Island.
It's also like literally the only thing that it has in common as far as like being a video game with Super Mario World is the name. It is otherwise just kind of not a traditional Mario game.
Oh, Yoshi's, yes. For a second, I thought you were talking about New Super Mario. I'm like, it's not confused. Great, Matt, but I mean, it's kind of like Mario World.
And like, what I remember about this is that it feels like it might have been a slight victim of Nintendo's like Touch Generations era of like, let's make everything extremely approachable. Because it feels like, in a way, like dumbed down and streamlined from Super Mario World. Like, all of the world maps are just like pretty mundane, like just going like a left to right world map mm-hmm. with very minimal interaction. Mm-hmm. Like it feels very blah, like especially going back to it in when it came out in 2006, you know, 18 year old Neil, I had a good time with it. Like no real complaints. It was not a game that I was like, this is better than Super Mario Brothers 3. It's not.
I think it's like good to good to say up front that like I can see that like playing these as they release is like a totally different experience from playing them now back to back, where it's like I enjoyed these as they released, and like if I went back in time or whatever and like did it again but somehow erased all memory of these games, I would probably still enjoy them a fair bit as they came out now in my 30s. But they just kind of are really the first game over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they modify it a little bit every time. Arguably make it a little better every time, maybe.
It's also a little weird because like there is a direct line from DS to Wii, and then like 2 kind of like takes a step back, ignores Wii, and is more a direct follow-up on DS.
But I still feel like it. Yeah, I agree. But I still feel like it improves on DS, but in a different way than we did.
I think they are going up in quality the whole time. Yeah. It's just strange that like there were design choices that they changed in Wii that they changed back into and then changed back in U.
Yes.
Yeah. It's almost like there were multiple development teams working on 2 and U.
Well, 2 especially, right? That was a totally separate team from the other 3, if I remember right.
Yep. Because who got credited with being the director on this? Shigeyuki,
on the first one?
Shigeyuki Suki, who what else has he done?
I don't know that name off the top of my head.
Neither do I.
But Neil, we run a Nintendo website.
Here's a shock. He worked on the new Super Mario Brothers games.
Oh, interesting. Latest game, Splatoon 2 Octo Expansion.
Most recently he worked on Splatoon games after working on New Super Mario Brothers U and New Super Luigi U. Before New Super Mario Brothers, he worked on the Super Mario Advance games. So it's a very like linear line. And I do remember that like a lot of the staff that worked on New Super Mario Brothers and all of them really were... You did have, like, I mean, like, you know, the likes of Tezuka and Miyamoto definitely had a hands on it. There were like legacy producers involved, but I believe most of the directors, a lot of the design staff were all people that kind of like got spun up during the GBA era working on the Super Mario Advance games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to the Nintendo Wiki, also that there's no like citation on this, so I don't know how true this is. But apparently, Shigeyuki Asuke was also in charge of the imprisoned fight in Skyward Sword.
Oh, that son of a bitch! Yeah, and I mean, and he was. I guess it goes to say to some of that, like how it was different. He didn't work on 2. he was the director for DS and Wii, and then a lead designer on U. He did not work on 2.
Yeah. I was going to point out that because, like, this was the first, you know, there have been those, like, Mario Advance games, which were, like, console ports to handhelds. But this was the first original handheld Mario since, what, Mario Land 2?
Yeah. I mean, or once again, that's a technically Super Mario Land 3 Wario Land is a Mario game.
Only real games count here.
I mean, isn't like the first handheld Mario game since Super Mario Land 2 also like the first 2D Mario game since Super Mario Land 2?
Yeah, yes, kind of.
Yeah.
I think the power-ups in this are gimmicky and bad.
I think the shell is awful.
I think I remember like the giant, like, what is it? The mega mushroom is the official name for giant mushroom thing. It's a gimmick. Like, that's just
it's real boring.
It's not a power up that you can make use of. It's just a thing that happens and the screen goes, ooh, like
Super Paper Mario like did it better.
I kind of want to actively avoid it too, because if you have a fire flower, you don't keep it after using the giant mushroom.
Yeah. The mini mushroom is cute in some of the ways that you can find like secret areas and secret paths with it. Like, that's the only cool thing about the mini mushroom.
Yeah, that's at least an idea for how to approach levels differently. And I kind of like when you like finish World 2, you can kind of just see the visual hint that like, oh, if you do this entire level with the mini mushroom, then you get to unlock the secret world. Yeah.
Or you go in with the mini mushroom as your like backup item. And you can just get it near the end.
Something I dislike about the way this game handles its power-ups, though, is like, as opposed to like Mario World, this game has a very predetermined like hierarchy of power-ups. And so like, if you get the shell and you have a fire flower in reserve and you use the fire flower, it'll just stick that fire flower back in reserve and you keep the shell. Like, the game decides like, no, don't worry about it. The shell's better. It's not. And I want the fire flower and you can't switch. So I am very careful about what power-ups I pick up in this game, because you can get stuck with them.
Yeah, and I think the blue Koopa shell is also one of those things where it's, I think there's cool things you could do with it. I don't think they do really any of those things.
Right, well, it's introduced on a stage that makes no use of it, and it isn't helpful on.
Well, what is it, like, supposed to be introduced? Because I didn't see it until, like, World 3.
Oh, really? I think it's in the second level.
Really?
It's definitely in, like, it's in one of the early levels of World 1, where there's, like, no environment to use it in. You know, like, there's not areas where it's like, oh, I need to bounce back and forth between these things. Like, there's no setup for it. It's just that, cool, now when you run, you're out of control, and it's bad. Like, it feels like I almost think of the shell like a poison mushroom. Because it
a little bit
in my mind, it's like, this is a punishment. This makes Mario control worse. I never want this. And I just avoid it like the plague.
So is that all we have to say about New Super Mario Brothers DS?
When did you guys did you guys both play this at launch?
Yes. Yeah.
I was in middle school at the time.
Okay. Yeah. I just figured we should establish that history.
Like Bowser becoming a skeleton, some of the boss battles, they're fun. Maybe my favorite part of the game.
Yeah, I'm already mixing this up with the other New Super Mario Bros. Games, but a lot of them are somewhat reused, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're like Mario Land or Mario World 3 bosses or world bosses. I don't remember. It's already... past month, they've already just congealed down into a single game.
I'm now looking at a list of the names, because it's more, I'm just like, oh, it's the mole one, the Monty Tank. I like that boss. Fun. Mummy Pokey is at least like cute. And I just like the Dry Bowser stuff, because I think that's like, that's cool.
I should also. I should point out also, like, you guys know that the way I do these game clubs is that I'm the one that goes extra. For Metroid, I not only played every version of Metroid 2 and tried to play Metroid NES alongside Zero Mission and played Other M. For Zelda, I did crossbow training alongside Twilight Princess. I tried to get the full experience that you could out of them. And for this one here, I didn't finish one of these four games.
I will say, I finished this one. This is the only one I finished. I had the intention of finishing all of them, but I finished this and then played like a little bit of the other three.
Yeah, so yeah, I did a thing.
Oh, you did a dumb thing. Yeah, you did a dumb thing.
Well, so I was playing World 1. I did World 1 of DS, then World 1 of Wii, then World 1 of 2, then World 1 of U. And then I did World 2 of DS, World 2 of Wii, World 2 of 2, World 2 of... you get the point.
Yes.
I lost my place. Yeah. But by the time I got to World 3, and so like the first one, it's like, okay, four levels in like grassy plains. All right, it's level 1, whatever. World 2, four levels in the desert. All right. And then I get to World 3. World 3 for DS, all right, it's underwater. World 3 for Wii, it's underwater. And that's where I stopped playing.
Yep. I mean, the whole quadrilogy is remarkably formulaic.
Yeah, but I finished 10 worlds, so that's more than a whole Mario game.
Right, like you got a whole Mario game out of it, just not, like you never got to like the fun, challenging parts. Yeah. I will say, I think there were some like ghost houses in this game that I thought were kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of nice things I can say about it, because I do know there are people in our Discord who enjoy it.
It's fine. Like, it's definitely my least favorite of the four New Super Mario Brothers games. It's not like it's bad, it's just that it's there.
I do think the physics are bad.
I don't like the way it feels.
Yeah, like it's a bad, and that does get improved with the later ones. I had to like double check to make sure that wasn't just like my memory being like, surely this was better.
Mm-hmm.
Like I do think, except I think Wii feels bad too, but I think 2 and U both feel significantly better.
I think Wii feels a little better than DS, but still not as good
it
as might. Later ones.
Yeah, it definitely feels very close though. It's still a very floaty, loose, slippery game. I think 2 greatly improves on that, and to me, U feels pretty similar to 2. But that'd probably be an advantage of the way you were playing it, Matt, is those little physics differences were probably painfully obvious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that to some extent, that is exactly why I did it that way, because frankly, just the differences between these games aren't big enough that I would have noticed them otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like we said, I for the record, did try all of these at the same resolution, and outside of DS and 2 using some 2D background assets, they're real hard to tell apart.
So I guess let's move over to the sequel. The second game?
Yes, which is not 2.
It is New Super Mario Bros. Wii, which came out in November 2009. It was revealed at that E3. That was actually the first E3 that I ever went to. I was there for when they revealed it. And in the moment, I was stoked. Like, four-player 2D Mario. That's incredible. And honestly, once again, like New Super Mario Bros. DS, very fun at the time. I had a lot of fun playing this in multiplayer. That is how I played predominantly, like, the majority of the game when I did play it. It was nice to be in college when I had friends that I could be like, yo, let's play some four-player Mario. And, you know,
yeah, it's a lot harder now.
Yeah. My kids are I mean, I played the Mario Wonder demo with my five-year-old.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that Wonder's co-op is also exclusively local multiplayer.
But yeah, New Super Mario Bros. Wii, for its time, enjoyable. Definitely a game that I think the context of it being the first four-player platformer, four-player 2D platformer that was, you know, released at, there might have been something before it, but as far as anything released, you know, wide. And this was released wide. It was at the peak of the Switch. It sold a boatload.
Peak of the Wii.
Peak of the Wii. Mario Brothers Wonder, not coming at the peak of the Switch, but it's still a heavy hitter. But New Super Mario Brothers Wii, yeah, it sold like over 30 million copies. Came out at a time where it was very memorable. With that in mind, I feel like for when this game came out, where it came out on the Wii culturally, I think it says something that I feel like this game doesn't really have like a good, I feel like it doesn't have a lot of like cultural groundswell years later.
No. I mean,
I don't think any of these do. I do think that there is a contingent of people that stand for New Super Mario Brothers U, which I can kind of see. Like,
I mean,
I
if
think
you're
I'm
gonna
little...
stand one of them,
yeah,
I feel
yeah,
might as well. I be feel that like one. You was it's the great thing about this. Like, we can't talk about one of these games without talking about all of them.
Yeah,
the thing
yeah.
about you is that I think it kind of got artificially boosted by Mario Maker.
Well, yeah. You're not wrong, but I also feel like there was a contingent of people going, no, this is really good.
Yeah.
And I say that as one of them. Like,
yeah, yeah. It was us.
Yeah. Yep. Like, and some of that may have also come just from the fact that like it was Wii U and you needed to defend it. And so it's like, no, Mario, it's, you know, this is the best Mario since
it's a Mario
World.
Launch title, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of just looks like the last three that they've made. But you could use the gamepad in boost mode.
Yeah.
Which, I don't want to. I gotta clarify. Boost mode was pretty fun. not gonna dog that much. I will dog the Wii U. Some of the implementation of the Wii U mechanics and games, actually a good time. But New Super Mario Brothers Wii, the main things that it added were colorful toads that you could play as, because dresses were too hard to animate in 2D games or some
people,
shit.
People care an awful lot about Buckenberry.
They had to be colored toads because we couldn't put hats on them.
Yeah, yeah, no
we're
hats.
We're going to have a fight if we do this Paper Mario Game Club.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
You could play as Mario, Luigi, or Blue Toad, or Yellow Toad. And what were the power-ups added here? You have the ice flower, the propeller suit, and the penguin suit, which is basically like, I don't know, the Tanuki to the raccoon suit is kind of the ice flower to penguin.
I will say I think Wii has a better lineup of power-ups than New Super Mario Bros.
Yeah, that's true, but they're also power-ups that I never think about again.
Yeah, I like the propeller suit.
They're crappy versions of better versions of Mario power-ups, which is I feel like some of the trap that Mario 2D Mario kind of fell into is because they're like raccoon and cape, pretty awesome flying power-ups. How do we do that again? I don't know. What if it's a propeller and you just go right up and then glide down?
Yeah,
like,
I do think the propeller at least has a different mechanic to it. It's not like the squirrel in you that is just the cape.
It is shitty cape.
Yeah, like at least the propeller has like a different, it theoretically has a different use case.
The squirrel in you feels very much like it's trying to be like, oh, how do we do the cape and propeller again, but make it different?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And the ice flower, I mean, the ice flower is fine. And I think
when the ice flower stuck around and kind of become a staple power up after this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that showed up in that's been in the 3D ones, too. Now,
well, hold on. This game was after our Galaxy, though. Galaxy had the ice flower.
Did the first Galaxy have the ice flower, or was that not until the second one?
I think
one?
It did.
Let's sure it did. Find Mario. Out.
I might have been. I think it was Super Mario Galaxy. Actually, oh, Mario and Luigi Partners in Time.
Oh,
technically, it first appeared in the Super Mario Kun manga.
Yeah, no, that's not canon. As far as in a game, it actually did first appear in Mario and Luigi Partners in Time.
Mm-hmm. Now, did it do the same?
It was in Galaxy. But I do, it's using Galaxy is different in that, like, Mario turns into ice, whereas in New Super Mario Brothers Wii, he just gets, like, the blue overalls.
Well, it's in Galaxy, it's better because he, like, can skate.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, that's cool what the penguin suit kind of does. It feels like a parallel, I mean, much like New Super Mario Brothers Wii and New Super Mario Brothers 2, it's like a parallel development of the ice flower.
Mm-hmm.
I do, and I feel like the penguin suit does things that the Koopa shell tried to do better with, like, that how you could go around on your belly as a penguin Mario. Mm-hmm. And that feels a lot better.
Yeah.
I do, like, I remember back in the day having a lot of fun messing around with that, especially in multiplayer.
Yeah. I gotta admit, I always hated the multiplayer in 2D Mario, like the four player simultaneous stuff. And I think it's totally just because I'm a grouch who finds other people in the game with me to be very annoying.
I was a troll when I played these games, so yeah, you would have hated playing with me.
Yep, like this is probably a very like Justin Berube take, but I'm like I'm playing this to like do well, and I don't want other people to be there. Like, go away. So yeah, no, I actively hate playing these games in multiplayer.
I also think there's a level of, you know, that I want to do well. Where I think when I play these games like by myself, yes, I have the unique experience with especially New Super Mario Brothers Wii. I was at the E3 where it was revealed. I played demos at E3, might have gone to like some kind of press event before it came out. I am just an absolute shitbird troll when I'm doing media demos, where I just will like, unless I'm like playing with a literal child. But like if I'm playing with other members of the press, like, oh no, I'm jumping on your head and sending you into the fucking hell tomb. Like,
yeah,
I'm here. I ain't getting the save file when I'm done. Just here to wreak havoc. Definitely had some times where like the handler for the, or like the person giving the demo is like, hey man, chill out. And I'm like, I'm just trying to play the game. Like,
yeah,
I'm just asking questions. Like,
that is definitely the way that I played the game back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. And then when I did play with friends, we would troll each other a lot. And it was very fun.
The problem is that I don't want to play the game twice. And so like if I'm playing it, I want to be making progress. And so like that style of play, it's like, man, I'm not going to go back to this and like redo this. Like, so it, yeah,
I'm going to be playing Mario Brothers Wonder primarily with a 5-year-old, probably with a 2-year-old trying to play as well. I just need to rewrite my brain to realize I'm not progressing shit.
Yeah, I will. Okay, that's actually something I will give these games credit for. They are very child friendly with like the bubble mechanic and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Wonder, even playing that demo, like was very good playing that with my kid. And I think because in Wii, I did not play this multiplayer when playing this for this, but I think the bubble you can trigger by yourself. Like you can just hit a button and bubble.
You can push it. Yeah. I know you can in U. I don't remember if you could in Wii yet or not.
Yeah, I forget if that was something that was added. But, like, yeah, the bubble mechanic is very good. I also do remember when this game came out, my niece was probably, I don't know, like three or four when it came out. And it was a fun challenge to just, like, essentially carry her through levels.
Right.
Like, that was a good time. And I do like some of the stuff that it does with that. It is disappointing that unless you're Yoshi, I don't think you can do that in Wonder.
Oh, you can't pick people up?
No. And like, they can't ride on your back.
Those cowards.
Yeah, but I think if you're a Yoshi, then someone can go on your back. But then, like, I don't want to be... I don't need to be invincible. I need my kid to pick Yoshi so that way he doesn't die. But he's too busy wanting to be... Yeah, I think... When we played the demo, he was Mario, then he was one of the Toads, and then he was Peach.
Okay, this is like a real quick tangent of like the way that Nintendo does like these easy modes of like, oh, pick this character and that character is the easy mode. I don't want to play as Nabbit. Who cares about Nabbit?
Why? He's got great little button nipples.
Remember, or maybe Nabbit, I do want to play as Yoshi without it being the easy, but just let me say, yes, I'm playing as easy mode. I'm going to pick the character I actually want to play as.
I mean,
they should just
like,
make it Funky Kong in every game, like, just that, no matter what's going on.
Even New Super Mario Brothers Deluxe, or New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe, Jesus. That has it where like you go to pick what character you're going to play. It's like, oh, easiest.
Yeah.
And Nabbit is easiest. I think Toadette was easy. Toadette is easy.
Was it also in U Deluxe you can't actually play with four players without someone being forced to play the easy mode?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, that was also lame. And also, there's no way for all four players to be on the easy mode.
Yep. But they did change that in Wonder, so progress is being made slowly but surely. Anything else to say about New Super Mario Bros. Wii?
It established weird kind of cheese looking mountains, which would later show up in the Super Mario Bros. Movie. So that's its contribution to history.
No, that's from that's from Super Mario Kart. Or not Super Mario Kart, from Mario Kart Super Circuit.
No, that's like the actual cheese mountains. These are just the mountains that have holes in them.
Oh, that's what you meant.
Yeah, I use cheese metaphorically, not literally. In Mario, I should be more specific, given that there are, in fact, actual cheese mountains as well.
I got confused. I was like, do you not know Cheese Land? It's Cheese Land, the best DLC course for Mario Kart 8.
I do. Anytime a 2D Mario Kart track shows up as DLC, I get excited because I just feel like those are the ones that they get the most room to have fun with visually.
Yeah, there's weird things.
Yeah. I think base game Mario Kart 8 did an incredible job with all of its GBA courses. They're kind of just okay in the booster pack.
I've liked a lot. I like what's the Western one recently that I noticed they removed all of the teepees from.
Oh, that's the sun, the one that's like called sunset something, sun, where they miles. Removed the part where the sun sets.
Yeah. Screw that part. You can't Pack's have got some you can't have it. Nice baked lighting if you're gonna move the sun. Xenoblade X taught us that.
So let's go on a journey from New Super Mario Brothers Wii in 2009. Here's what went down at that same E3 in 2009. Super Mario Galaxy 2 was also released. Apparently that was like done, but they wanted to have New Super Mario Brothers Wii be the holiday game. So then in I think it was spring 2010, Super Mario Galaxy 2 came out. Around that same time, Shigeru Miyamoto made a comment about how there was another side scrolling and another 3D Mario game in development. One of the 3D game was Super Mario 3D Land, came out on 3DS. That was in 2011. There was also an untitled 2D Super Mario game announced around that same time at an investor briefing. And so it was just like, there was a while. I think I should probably double check this. There's a good chance that there might just be a game called Super Mario that is like TBD game profile on Nintendo Report.
Oh, sure.
Because I do think like it was added during that like investors call, and then we like when New Super Mario Brothers 2 got announced, we never changed it. I should double check that. Then it did come out. So this is 2002, and in 2011, Super Mario Brothers 3D Land. I believe this was. I don't know. I'm trying to. Some of this I'm going off of memory. At E3 2011 was when the Wii U was announced. There was a demo called New Super Mario Brothers Me. It was HD New Super Mario Brothers, where you could be your me. Nintendo said this is just a gameplay experience. This is just, you know, something that could give you a vision of what a game could be on the Wii U. New Super Mario Brothers Me. They wound up turning into New Super Mario Brothers U. That would come out November 2012, alongside the launch of the Wii U. But while that was being, you know, messed around with on Wii U, Nintendo was actively developing New Super Mario Bros. 2, which was a 3DS game that wound up coming out in 2012. So now we're at a point where there are two 2D Mario games coming out within mere months of each other. From what I have heard over the years, is that Nintendo, at least initially, was not really full of shit when they said that New Super Mario Brothers Me was like, this wasn't planned to be a full game. It wasn't initially. It was a demo that they made to be like, here's something we could do on the Wii U. We took New Super Mario Brothers Wii, HD assets, made some levels, put in Mii's, did something different. The reception to that demo was very positive, and they wound up being like, let's turn this into a full game. So that's where New Super Mario Brothers U came from.
That was paints such a dire picture of what the game's dev time was.
What's funny is that the level they show in that demo is largely new assets and is a level that's in the final game.
It could have been like, As far as the exact timeline, it might not have been like E3 was like, all right, let's, you know, this is the moment. It could have been like some like focus testing before then. Mm-hmm. But like there was a moment from what I've heard is that New Super Mario Bros. Me was initially just a tech demo.
Yeah.
And then they decided to make a full game based on that. But that's how you wound up in the situation where you had two 2D Mario games that were more or less conflicting with each other. And it's also to like zoom out a little bit just where Nintendo was in 2012 is that like, I mean, the 3DS wound up turning out all right. But the launch for the 3DS was a fucking disaster. Like that, I mean, it was over. Like you don't see a company do a mea culpa like 3 or 4 months after a hardware system and be like, we are cutting the price by like 30%. Like we were at 250, yeah. Now we're like at a $180 or whatever. Also, we're giving you like 20 free games if you bought it at the higher price. Please, God, don't sue us. So there was a lot of pressure after the 3DS kind of bombed. I mean, one, they focused on getting Mario Kart 7 and 3D Land out for holiday. And as history is told, 3DS turned out fine. You know, definitely not had some rocky moments, but it still sold a lot, did well, you know, down from the DS and everything, but still fine. They had the moment with the Wii U where they're like, we don't know how to do HD development. So that's the stuff where I don't know if you guys remember about how, like, basically there is a universe where The Legend of Zelda: A Link Between Worlds comes out like a year or two earlier, because essentially that entire dev team was just like paused on Link Between Worlds and just worked on Wii U games. Like,
yeah,
I like it's like the, I think like the director of Link Between Worlds was also like the director of the Zelda Battle Quest on Nintendo Land, just because like they needed bodies.
Nintendo. Is anyone else hearing this getting really worried about the prospect of within a year we might see Nintendo doing 4K?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, well,
if rumors are true, we might even see them doing ray tracing.
They won't be doing 4K. They'll be upscaling to 4K, which is not fair. Anything that they just push the button. Well,
and I guess with that, like, I think there's definitely reasons to be concerned with that, but why do you think Nintendo keeps on partnering with like Bandai Namco and you know, Koei Tecmo? They're partnering with companies that can do a lot of that heavy lifting because they don't want, I think it's a balance between they don't want to overstaff. Like they are, I mean, at heart, Nintendo, very conservative company. They're also very prideful in the fact that like they don't have bloat. You look at a Ubisoft, there's like a bajillion million employees and they have to, you know, trim the fat every now and then just by the nature of how tech works. Nintendo tries to avoid that. But I think they've kind of got that outsourcing pipeline. But I also think there's, you know, it's probably a topic for another podcast about how they've basically killed all of the like twee little Japanese studios that they would make like quirky games with because they can't work with Vanpool or Skip anymore. They have to work with Bandai Namco and all these other companies.
Right. Those were kind of the last vestiges of the AA space.
Yeah.
Disappearing once there were no more SD game developers.
Yeah. And also, yeah, I mean, it's also a lot of those companies, you know, the cost of making an HD game for Switch versus making Dylan's Rolling Western on 3DS, That is a much different business proposition to do some of those smaller games.
Mm-hmm.
But back to New Super Mario Brothers 2 and U. New Super Mario Brothers May became New Super Mario Brothers U. And that kind of took a little bit of the A team working on that game to get it ready for Wii U launch. And there was kind of this like, it was almost like New Super Mario Brothers 2's story is that it was kind of like a trainee development team. Which I think it's a similar to New Super Mario Brothers DS, which I think could also be seen as that. But because there was U at the same time, it kind of looked like there was an A team and a B team. But it was also just like Nintendo's way of getting people to learn level design.
Yeah.
Anyway, all that to say, New Super Mario Brothers 2 came out in summer of 2012. I think it's a pretty fun game. Once again, I don't think it's held up quite as well. I still kind of like it. I like it's a gimmicky structure with all the coin stuff, but I enjoy it.
I feel like the level design might be better overall.
Yeah, the level design is pretty all right. I think the coin stuff is definitely overblown. There's some part of my neurodivergent brain that really hates it, but that's definitely a me problem.
Yeah, it's definitely a game that does like it by no means wants you to pick everything up. But if you want to pick everything up, that'll be a problem.
Yeah. And I do with the power-ups, like I don't think there are really any brand new power-ups outside of gold, like gold flowers.
You can put a brick on your head that makes coins go badoop.
But does like, nothing, I think it does a good job. Like it brings back the leaf. Like, and it just has fun with it. Like it does feel a little bit like this is trainee Mario, but that's still pretty fun. Like I feel like there's a young heart to this game, even if it might not be the most complex and most interesting 2D Mario game in the world.
Yeah, like I admit that I don't really care about the whole aesthetic and gimmick that they went for with the coins, but the way that they committed to it so hard means that the game has a real sense of identity that the other three games in this series lack.
Yeah, even if you don't like what its identity is, yes, it has one.
Yeah.
Which, is a huge step up.
And I do think it is, so the director of New Super Mario Bros. 2, like, I feel like you look at this game, I don't know if you guys know off the top of your head, what do you think the guy who directed this went on to do right after?
Oh, shit. I don't know. I have no idea.
He was a co-director on Splatoon 1. I feel like the spirit of this game is like he, you know, cut his teeth working on some Mario games. He was like a designer on New Super Mario Brothers Wii. He was at Nintendo for like, I don't know, a little over 10 years, and I guess less than 10 years because of the dev cycle for Splatoon. But he, you know, trained up, you know, cut his teeth making some, you know, interesting but paint by numbers 2D Mario levels, and then went and made probably Nintendo's most interesting new IP of the past 20 years.
Did he work on the Splatoons after that?
He worked on Splatoon 2 and Octo Expansion, and then helped out with New Horizons after that.
So that's where it went wrong.
Yeah. I'm happy for him that he escaped, though.
Yeah,
escaped the ink mines. That makes sense that like this does really feel like, this isn't true at all. But my perception is always that like in that sort of like Wii U era, there was a push for more of the young talent to sort of come in and replace some of the old guard. And I'm sure that's gradually happening all of the time. But it really felt like a lot of that was happening around that era. So it makes sense that there was, you know, these games that were being developed by the less experienced teams showing up. That would then go on to do, you know, Splatoon or ARMS and that kind of thing. I think I got this game at midnight. Because I think this was one of the first games they did a digital midnight release for.
I think you're right.
I might have the most weirdest hyper specific. I think so this was one where I think it came out in Japan in July, and then it came out in August. This was the first game that was released digitally at the same time it was released physically.
Yeah.
Was that not Donkey Kong Country 3D, or was that later?
That might have been later.
That was after this.
Yeah, that might have been 2013.
In my head, that was the first game, but maybe that was just here the is, first. No, because I got 2D.
Definitely know this one was digital.
Yeah, I have it digitally.
So here is my hyper-specific story of when I first played New Super Mario Bros. 2. We got the review code. I had just landed from a flight coming back from Alaska. I went on an Alaska cruise, hung out with Zach Miller back in 2012, summer 2012.
I landed DQB, who you did not know at the time.
I did not know. Maybe I'll go back. But I landed, I got the review code for this, and then I was supposed to go see Childish Gambino play at Penn's Landing in Philadelphia. there was a horrific storm. The concert wound up getting postponed, or I guess, you know, canceled at the time. And then it was like rescheduled for a couple weeks, a couple months later. But I we were meeting up with a friend of ours to go see Childish Gambino. And we wound up to like just going to a restaurant and then like got dinner and hung out for a while because it was like pouring rain. And we're like, well, what else are we going to do? We don't have a concert to go to anymore. And I remember either using a hotspot or the restaurant Wi-Fi to download New Super Mario Bros. 2 and then playing it while we were waiting for the rain to die down. So that is my hyper specific when I first played New Super Mario Bros. 2. But I do have an 8.5 review that I wrote up on NintendoWorldReport.com back when it came out. I dug this game a lot. I think I'm not as high on it now as I was back in 2012, but I still think it's an enjoyable game, and I historically I feel like it's gotten a lot more shit than is deserved.
Mm-hmm. I liked this one a lot when it came out. I do also want to add that on to your restaurant downloading Mario story, that I did that with I wasn't on my way to see Childish Gambino, but
if only
but I downloaded Pokemon X at a Perkins over their Wi-Fi. I don't know if Perkins is a thing that extends to the East Coast. Probably not. Yeah,
I've been to one in Jersey at least.
There's a Perkins, or at least there was. I think it might have closed down. I think it did. It was by the movie theater near me that closed down during COVID.
Yeah, it's absolute trash, but it's one of those restaurants that's open 24/7, so you go there when you're a teenager.
Absolute trash and open 24/7 are synonyms.
Yes, yeah, it has to be. But yeah, I downloaded Pokemon X over their Wi-Fi, and I remember it taking like an hour. Because it was
my
combo of like 3DS download speeds with horrible restaurant Wi-Fi.
Let's just get into hyper-specific Pokemon X stories. That came out during a New York Comic Con that I went to, which, hey, when you're listening to this, if you listen to it when it comes out, New York Comic Con's happening.
Yes, but you can no longer download Pokemon X, so you cannot relive this moment.
And also, like, Nintendo doesn't go there anymore. There was a pretty fun period where, like, video game companies gave a shit about New York Comic Con. Played the Conduit there for the first time, like talked to people from
God, let's do that game club.
No.
Conduit 1 and 2 game club, y'all.
I mean, High Voltage Software is basically dead. We could do a game club mourning their loss.
We could get I could reach back out to the guys to Grove Street Games that did the second ARC port, because they also did the Conduit Android port. and get them on. That was when I was talking to them about ARC. We had a long tangent where I like saw a poster for Conduit in the background, and I was like, is that a Conduit poster? And they're like, yeah, we did the Android port. And I was like, oh hell yes, let's talk about Conduit.
I guess I might as well share my really specific Pokemon X story, because I've got one.
My Pokemon X story is, it was New York Comic Con. I was like covering it. There was stuff during the day, and I was going to stay over if alumni of Nintendo World Report, Josh Max, he like wrote for us, you know, around when Pokemon X came out. But covered the event, and there was supposed to be like a midnight launch at Nintendo World Store. And I think I was told that like, oh yeah, there's going to be media access. And we went there. And there was like a line wrapped around Rockefeller Plaza. It was ridiculous. And then like there was no media access. And we were very frustrated by this. So just wound up getting drinking a lot of beers at a bar. And then when midnight struck, downloaded Pokemon X and then played that, and then went like very hungover to New York Comic Con the next day, and then proceeded to still play Pokemon X at New York Comic Con, because I think that second day was very light compared to the first.
Yeah.
But that was supposed to be at a cool event, and then it was like, nope. So then we just went to a bar instead.
Matt, what's your story so we don't have to talk about New Super Mario Bros?
My story is not especially unique, but like it sure as hell does go. Before the launch, Me and my roommate, we went over to for those who actually like hear me talk about my roommate all the time. This is actually a different roommate from when I had four roommates at once. The So my roommate was going to see a friend over at a frat house before we went to GameStop for the midnight release. And we were over there for a couple hours. And it was just like, hey, you guys want to try some weed? So that was the first time I had weed. Did not like it because I have asthma. So that didn't work out very well. But then we did that. We went over to the GameStop, and I think that was the final time I ever went to a GameStop midnight release.
I had to
for the Switch because you couldn't get the Switch digital. But then that was the last time.
The last time that I went to a GameStop midnight release might have been for a Madden, in which I went and got Yo-Kai Watch at midnight.
That
just, it was more like I wanted to get Yo-Kai Watch, and I was like, wait a minute, they're doing a midnight launch for Madden. Yo-Kai Watch comes out the same day. I'm gonna go to GameStop and get Yo-Kai Watch instead of Madden.
I did that for the Metal Gear Solid HD collection on the same day as Call of Duty. I was the only one in the entire store doing it. So like when I got to the front, they had to ask me to step off to the side because they literally only had Call of Duty out at the front.
I did that with Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate during, I believe, a Gears of War sale. I think that's what else was out. We were like, boy, there's a lot of people here for Monster Hunter.
I assume that GameStop doesn't do any more midnight releases, but I do know, I mean, like Spider-Man 2 comes out the same day as Wonder, and I do have a physical copy pre-ordered at GameStop near me. I've not checked to see if they're doing a midnight launch, but I was like, oh, that'd be fun.
I
just get it and then immediately go to bed because I'm old.
I think a combo of, I mean, well, for one, the like starting with like the PS4, Xbox One, like once systems started to take a long time to install your game, like that kind of removed some of the interest in the midnight launch, especially when you reload it digitally. And then a combo of that with the pandemic making it impossible to do midnight launches, I think the entire physical games retail industry just kind of decided, why do we do these? Like, they're not, you don't actually make any extra money on them. Like, they're just sort of a stunt. And so they just stopped.
Yeah, if anything,
as somebody who's worked a lot of midnight sales, nothing of value was lost.
Apparently, so I just Googled this while you're talking. Some GameStops might be doing midnight launches for Spider-Man 2.
Ooh, so you'll go for Wonder?
If my GameStop is doing it. I don't care enough to like do anything like changing a pre-order to go to this. It's all, and also the GameStop with me, it's very convenient. It's like a 5-minute drive away. It's like by my grocery store.
Okay, but actually, John, now that you mention it, like, yeah, why would you do, why as a store, why would you do a midnight launch? You don't get any money for any extra money for it. If anything, you lose money from having to pay staff.
So back during like the, you know, during the 360 era and like the heyday of like when Call of Duty was huge and you had like Madden and all of those games, then it made sense because you turned it into an event and like you actually had more sales because of it.
I remember, I mean, at some of those midnight launches, because I legitimately went to one for Madden before I went for Yo-Kai Watch only. And it would be like, there'd be like tournaments and like, I think there was pizza at one, like they were events. There was definitely a time.
The company that I work for, we'd get, there'd be free pizza for, I mean, the employees and anybody who showed up would get pizza. I do think that we did one for Tears of the Kingdom.
When I just Googled this, I believe that there was one done for Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah, that was, it has to be huge. And like, even at like a reasonably small local game retailer, that was, you know, hundreds of pre-orders per location. And it's like, okay, that'll be worth it. But most games are not that.
One last thing is I worked at a GameStop for one holiday. I did it like part time when I was in college because it felt like a good idea at the time. It wasn't. But they did it was a new store, so it did not really have a like big amount of like regulars. And I think it was for a Call of Duty that there was supposed to be a big midnight event, and no one showed up. So that one had like a bunch of cool demo stations in the back. So we just played a bunch of video games and drank hard liquor. And I heard months after the fact that the store manager at that store was fired. And looking back on it as like a 20-year-old, working at a GameStop, having hard liquor on the Call of Duty Midnight Launch. You know, I like that guy a lot, but I can kind of understand.
I'm sure a lot of people liked that guy a lot. Just not his boss.
Oh, anyway, I suppose we should talk about these Mario games. Every episode of this game club, we have managed to spend like 30 minutes talking about something else.
I mean,
anyone else watch Secret Invasion yet?
No, I don't have anything else to add about two. I like it more than the other two games we've talked about.
Yes. So then we'll get to like a couple weeks after New Super Mario Brothers 2. For some reason, New Super Mario Brothers Wii New Super Mario Brothers U came out on the Wii U, which, you know, launched in November 2012. And outside of the Bomba status of the console aside, New Super Mario Brothers U is a pretty solid game. I do have to say, upon replaying it, and I did play through this game back on launch and then played through it again on the Switch release, the opening is very slow. I think the back half of it is very strong, but it takes a little while to get going. It is also very funny to look at my opinion of this game decrease over a decade. I gave it a 9.5 when it first came out. I gave it like an 8.5. when it hit Switch, and I think I'd probably give it like a 7.5 if I were to review it right now. It's fine. It's an enjoyable game. There's some clever stuff, but I don't think it's... I think it's very good, but I know some people like talk about it as, it's the best 2D Mario game ever. It's good. It's not that good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I'd give it... I could give it an 8. I think there's a lot of variability in world quality in this one.
Yeah.
I do feel like there are some worlds in this. I know there's like kind of like a beach, not underwater area, but like a beach themed area that actually has like a lot of unique mechanics that like actually feels new. Something that's hilariously rare in the New Super Mario Brothers series. It has that one Van Gogh stage that's like, that was a cool idea. Why didn't we make more of the game with originality?
Because originality is hard.
Yeah, there's like one, we're gonna focus it all into one level.
Which is honestly also one of the best levels of the game.
Oh, it's great. It also has a pretty solid world map. I don't think any of the did we have a unified world map, or were they still segmented off? I think they were still segmented.
It was
right?
The exact same as DS.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Same with two as well.
Yeah. So this one had like the actual like Super Mario World style, like it was all one continuous map, which is like does not affect gameplay in the slightest, but I like it and it makes the world feel like I exist in a place. It's almost kind of the Splatoon complaint of like I like feeling like the world I'm in exists and not just like it's these weird isolated bespoke environments.
Oh, we're going to have a lot of fun talking about Paper Mario.
This one has more things that I can say are good about it. It still has all of the New Super Mario Bros. Isms there. Like, it feels better to play, but it still doesn't feel anywhere near as good as the other 2D Mario games. I do worry a little bit with Wonder that part of what makes that feel the way it does is just an inherent element of 2.5D games, of like using a 3D model as opposed to a sprite and having that platforming just no longer be pixel perfect because you're dealing with a weird hitbox. But yeah, we'll see on Wonder if that can feel as solid as actual 2D Mario did.
I'm quite confident it's at least possible.
And
I did in my brief time playing the store demo of Wonder, I did kind of feel like, oh, the at least the physics in this feel stellar.
Yeah. It's just it's always weird because like with a 3D model, you're like with a sprite, you can essentially assign that hitbox to literally be where those pixels land. And especially at like 16-bit, those pixels can be pretty big and obvious. Whereas like with a a 3D model, you have to sort of build a cylinder around that model, because you don't actually want it to be a hitbox of the model itself. And so it can always feel a little more loosey-goosey.
I think that with the right amount of like effort and polish, you can get something that might as well be pixel perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what's weird about the new Super Mario Bros. Series is, for a mainline Nintendo game, they kind of don't feel polished.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, this is another one as well that, like, I was, you know, there when they announced that I played New Super Mario Bros. And I played the demos a lot leading up to it, and I played it a lot because you could definitely, in retrospect, smell the desperation of Nintendo marketing the Wii U, realizing that they were absolutely screwed. I had a lot of fun with it, and it's an enjoyable game. I think some of the Wii U gamepad gimmicks are really cute and fun. It's totally fine. I think it's a lot because we covered a lot of ground on the new Super Mario Bros. Games already.
Like,
don't have that much to say. Like, I think the Squirtle suit is cute, but I like it feels like a worse version of existing power ups. I think the baby Yoshis are neat, but eh.
Yeah, I think it is the best of this quadrilogy, but boy, is it still very similar to the rest of this quadrilogy. It by no means fixes all of the problems.
If you're going to play exactly one of these, play this
right
one.
And I think we mentioned this when we were talking about when we were on the last episode of the Game Club, like, if you just played this one by itself without having played any of the other new Super Mario Bros. Games, it'd be pretty good. But it's just so iterative of itself at this point that I think it loses any charm it may have had. If this was the only one that had this art style and this look and this vibe, then, like, yeah, it would feel like a very original game.
Yeah.
But by now, it's been beat into the dust. And like Niels, I mean, this was like released 10 minutes after New Super Mario Bros. 2. Like, it was so oversaturated. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Did anyone play the New Super Luigi U for the Game Club?
I played.
Not for the Game Club. I played it when it came out.
Yeah, I played it when it came out. I played through the first world. And I just don't know if I like time limits in my Mario games.
Yeah, that really.
I don't mind, like, good. Otherwise, like, the challenge of it, I don't mind. It just, I don't like the, oh, you gotta get it done right now. Like, I like kind of taking my time with it. And that was always the thing that kind of, like, reminding me of playing the game both when it hit Wii U and then hit Switch as part of Deluxe, that, like, that's the thing that holds me back from thinking New Super Luigi U is incredible. Because I think it's a very good hard mode otherwise, just that time limit sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it a lot, but I not enough. I'm like, I haven't got back to it. Like, I played through it when it came out. Remember having a good time with it. I like playing Mario fast, so that clicked.
I remember liking Luigi U a lot at the time, but when you're playing it like back to back with levels in the regular Mario U, it's just like, oh, Jesus Christ, these are the same levels again.
Well, and I think also, like, in the context of the time, you're playing Wii U. If you're me, like, Wii U was like it took me a while to get an Xbox One or PS4, so like Wii U was my system. You were just happy that a game came out, man. Like, it didn't matter if it was like you just kind of take what you can get. I mean, I was playing Tokyo Mirage Sessions to give you an illustration of how desperate I was to play games on this thing.
So not only did I jump on the PS4 pretty early in that generation, but I was a broke college student at the time, so I didn't even have the option to buy a lot of games. So,
yeah, this was a time where I could buy games. I had finished high school. I hadn't gotten married yet. I had income to burn, but Nintendo was like, no, John, save up. And I was like, okay.
That's how you bought a house.
Yep. It's all thanks to the Wii U.
I mean, for me, it's part of the reason why I started doing a crazy amount of writing my video. This is the era. I mean, you mentioned the PS4. where I started doing a lot more freelancing, if only to, when I got my PS4, not have to pay for games. Because I would get codes for stuff and then play them that way, and then write reviews for sites that don't exist anymore.
Free games is a nice bonus of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The pay otherwise, pretty bad. Especially now.
Especially on NWR.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Even in general.
Is terrible.
I don't even know what current freelance rates are at other places, but I can't imagine that
not good.
Writing reviews is a worthwhile endeavor for pay.
You have to come in cheaper than the AI.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sitting here staring down the barrel of this goddamn Trine 5 review. Like, if I had to do this to get food on the table, I would give up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who needs kids, food?
Do this for fun. Don't do it for money.
Yep.
Jordan has finally started asking me, hey, where's that review?
It's probably deserved.
You wrote reviews for other Trine games, right? Is it different?
Not even a little bit.
Okay. Copy paste.
We've got, see, here's the thing. I gave Trine 4 an 8.5.
That's, I mean, lower it to a, I don't know how much you like Trine.
I don't.
How has Trine survived as a series? Like, I don't dislike Trine, but like, how has it had the success to fund so many games? Like, who keeps buying Trine?
I do dislike Trine, and half the reason that it has taken me so long to write this review is, how do I give this game the 4 I feel like it is when I gave the last one an 8.5? And my primary, one of the biggest complaints is that it's the same goddamn game all over again.
We've been talking a lot of shop here. Hopefully the developers of the game do not hunt you down at E3 and accost you to wonder why the sequel to a game had a higher, or the previous game had a higher review and the sequel is demonstrably way better than the previous one. Why did you give it a lower score?
That feels like a really specific story.
Call of Duty DS games, baby. I don't even write the reviews. Zach Miller did.
It's when you say, I don't know, go to Alaska. Find out. Well, if the developers of Trine are listening, I'll say that I enjoy Trine. I don't enjoy Trine enough to play it 5 times, but I do own Trine 2 twice, so I've done my part.
I've played the one that launched on Wii U eShop.
Well, I was gonna mention that one. This is all related to New Super Mario Bros. Of course.
I mean, they both.
Yeah, this would be the only other game you play on Wii U.
That game was
Zombie
unique.
U, baby.
Okay, I did have Zombie U.
The Trine 2 was one of the games on Wii U that was used as like an example of like how the Wii U was actually really powerful. Because at the time, the Wii U version of Trine 2 was the best version. It had better graphics than the 360 or PS3 versions. Because for something about the Wii U, it's like texture memory was like abnormally good compared to the rest of the system.
I would hope that
crap.
The Wii U is substantially better than a console that came out half a decade earlier.
I mean,
than it
would hope, but like, look at every other cross-platform game that came out on it. Like,
well, yeah,
I agree with you, but that is not how it
came out immediately.
Right. Yeah, it's unfortunately it's not how history played out. I think Mass Effect 3, no, even Mass Effect 3 ran worse. It just had some fun extra features. Batman absolutely ran worse. Like, I don't think, the exception.
Dude,
like,
what do you think is going to run worse, Batman on Wii U or Batman on Switch?
Oh, I think Batman Arkham Knight is going to be a disaster on Switch.
Arkham Knight didn't even run well on platforms more powerful than Switch.
Right. Well, that's so the thing about Arkham City is that, yes, it didn't run well on Wii U, but it was designed for that hardware level. Like, it's a 360 game.
Yeah.
Arkham Knight is a PS4 Xbox One game that doesn't run well on PS4 and Xbox One. Like, you need to play that on Series or PS5 to actually get it to run well. So that's going to be a disaster. And I think the fact that after we were continuously ignored when we were asked, like, are you guys doing review codes for that for like a long time?
Because it was supposed to come out like tomorrow.
Right. They finally were just like, it's not coming out till November. And I was like, oh, okay.
I thought it was December.
Maybe it's December. I just know they delayed it. But it was getting to that point where I'm like, last minute
delay.
I'm like, I'm asking about review codes and they're not saying anything. I sent an email that was like, it was asking about that and Hogwarts Legacy. And they got back to us immediately on Hogwarts Legacy, like within a half an hour. They were like, yep, here's this. We got you on the list. And they never responded about Batman.
Behind the scenes, and if you got to this long in the podcast, cool. I've heard pretty good things about what the port looks like for Hogwarts Legacy.
I think it's going to be great. Because
I think they are going to put a lot of money into making that run well on Switch, because I think unfortunately it's going to do very well.
Well, and here,
as far as sales wise,
based on a very isolated sample size, I believe it is the most pre-ordered version of the game.
Really?
So it needs to do well. Yes.
Yep.
Even like this long after it, like, I'm sure it will do well on Switch, but like, this long after its initial release?
So I mean, anybody can find out what company I work for if they really dig into it, but I won't name like company names or anything. But we had a suspicious number of pre-orders for this game heading towards its launch. And we were like, we need to find out how many of those pre-orders are actually happening before we order this game. So we went through to be like, okay, let's make sure none of those people picked it up on like another platform. Let's call them all and like double check, confirm that they still want it. And like 95% of them were still planning to pick it up on Switch. And it is the second most pre-ordered game for Switch after Zelda.
Jesus Christ.
Zelda is like a given at number one.
But it's, it like Mario Wonder doesn't have anything on it.
I also, if memory serves, I believe that was announced, like the Switch version wasn't it was announced for all those consoles at the same time. So you probably had people putting in pre-orders being like, oh, I have a Switch.
The Switch version was announced slightly later.
Okay.
It was
okay.
Not originally on the list. It was announced a little bit later. And I will also clarify, it's the most pre-ordered game currently for us on any platform. Like it eclipses Spider-Man 2 and all of that.
We'll need to read a second book.
It's I mean, we already had Witcher, so we're out of books.
Yeah, no one read that book.
I did. Let's do that game club. One of them's on Switch.
Yeah.
And I've heard it's the only one that a normal human should play.
Two is great. One is where you get into that like that era of Western RPGs that you really have to want to play. But like 2 is a totally decent kind of linear RPG. 3 is amazing. Unlike New Super Mario Bros.
I guess while we're in this extended period of not talking about Super Mario Bros., I'll follow up on Secret Invasion and say, Loki's pretty good. Loki season 2, it's nice to enjoy the MCU again.
I thought the first episode was a little slow, but like it's fun. It's fun sci-fi stuff.
You're completely right. The first episode is a little slow, but like, God, the MCU has been so rough this year.
Oh, I mean, like compared to Secret Invasion, this is Shakespeare. Like,
yeah, it's just finally some good fucking food.
Yeah. Loki. I mean, it was the kind of thing like Ahsoka wrapped up and everything. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, do I want to? And I was like, you know what? They're sticking with this 9 p.m. Eastern release for these things. I'll sit down and watch Loki when it airs. And like, it was enjoyable. Like, I'm not definitely way more into Ahsoka than I am Loki. But I think that's just kind of how I feel about the subject matter right now. But like, I'm in. Like, this is probably going to do some weird stuff. Seems fun.
Loki's really overpowered in Marvel Snap. I have to care about him.
No, I watched Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny instead.
Oh, is it good?
Yeah.
I should watch that at some point. Maybe I'll do that soon. I've heard it's worth watching.
It's like, it's like 2.5 hours of grumpy old Harrison Ford running around, and occasionally it plays the theme song. Nazis get punched. Like, what are you looking for?
I'll also say this,
you know?
Like, I think Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is bad. It's funny. It's watchable.
I liked it more than that.
The way that I feel about Dial Destiny,
Crystal Skull that much.
The way I feel about Dial Destiny is at the very beginning, really good. The very end, really good. The hour and a half in between that, so really boring.
It's kind of just slow. It has too many car chases, I would say. Like, there's too many times where people get in a car and drive really fast down a street.
And that's on Disney Plus now?
Nope. I spent money on it like an idiot.
Okay.
I own it now. If you want to come over and watch it, we can watch it whenever you want.
Yeah, we can watch the Turtles. We can watch the new Turtles movie, which I bought and is now on Paramount Plus.
I was gonna say, I'm pretty sure that's I can stream that somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. I regret. I mean, I've gotten a lot of watch out of that Turtles movie with the kids. Also, that Turtles movie is awesome. It's very, very good.
I've heard it's good.
Yeah, and it's on Paramount Plus if you want to watch it on streaming.
I only use Paramount for Star Trek.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, the rest of the time I use your Paramount.
Yeah, no, I'm using a friend's Paramount, and my friend wanted me to watch Star Trek, and instead I just watched a lot of old Comedy Central shows like Review and Nathan For You, and then watched Beavis and Butthead, and the League of Legends faux reality show, some movies.
Matt, just so you know how little attention I pay, it was only like a couple months ago that we were watching something on Paramount and we're like, what is that other account on there? And I'm like, oh, it's Matt. Forgot about that. Okay, cool. Somebody else on there this whole time, we're like, who cares?
I'm at the point with my Netflix account where my friend that leached off of it before the whole password thing is still using it because I just haven't logged in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I get that.
I do love here's a trick for Netflix. It doesn't make you do any of that IP chicanery if you just watch kids stuff.
Oh, interesting.
Because
kids can pirate whatever they want.
Yep. Because yeah, we're on my mother-in-law's Netflix account, and like one of the TVs triggered like the you're not in the same house, and the other one, because it was really only used to watch kids stuff, I just never did that ever. And it's because we did, like, if we were like, oh no, we will ruin this if we click on our name.
That's really funny.
The number of phone calls I've had with Hulu explaining to them what a VPN is and why I'm going to be in a different place every time I boot up Hulu, and they need to just stop asking. It goes on for a long time. Like, yes, I am traveling the world. It's random. It's tied to my router. Don't worry about it.
That reminds me of when a streamer that I watch wanted to stream a game early, because it's because he bought it on the New Zealand shop account, mm-hmm. so that he could play it at like 10 a.m. And he did this whole bit on the stream where he was pretending that he took a plane to go to New Zealand just to stream it. Anything to avoid talking about New Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Yep. So how at this stage, we are mere days away from Super Mario Brothers Wonder. There was a demo that, John, did you also play the demo? I know Matt did.
I made eye contact with it at Target and then kept walking.
Yeah. No, I specifically, my kid got out of school on Friday. I was like, buddy, we're going to Target to play the Mario game. And we played it for like 45 minutes.
Jesus.
Played every level multiple times. I will say, I was like, all right, let's go. And he's like, no, let's play it again. I'm like, well, there's no one else here. Let's just keep going, yeah. Man. I think it looks beautiful. A lot of the animation's incredible. If there's one thing, especially coming off of all of these new Super Mario Brothers things, I am concerned that it might just be a new Super Mario Brothers game with a very nice coat of paint.
Yeah.
But yeah. Time will tell. And I think the Wonder Seed stuff is like the giant mushroom where like, oh, like this is fun the first time. And as I played the demo multiple times, I replayed some levels and I was like, oh, we're doing the thing with the pipes walking again. Great.
So at least some of the ones that they showed in the direct, which by the way, I think they showed too many to the point of like it being spoilers. I would say that they look already more substantive than the giant mushroom did, because the giant mushroom was just the exact same thing every time. And at least it looks like with the wonder flowers, where it's like, even if this is going to just be a gimmick, at least it is a different gimmick each time.
Yeah. Like, it's the kind of thing where, I mean, these are not like, oh, this is going to be a bad game. Just some concerns as we get closer to the game. Still going to play it. Still excited. I will likely still have fun. I'm going to play it with my kids. But what if this is just like New Super Mario Brothers, but the animation's cute?
That's the thing, is, I mean, there really is no reason to be confident in it. Like, yeah. Like, you've played four games in a row that were like, at best, okay.
Yeah.
So the most positive thing I can say is that I've heard some comments from the developers where they were like, yeah, we essentially, like, we started making this game and Nintendo just didn't give us a deadline. Like, they just said, make what you want, let us know when it's done. Which, like, that's neat. I don't know if that results in a good game, but, like, it's neat.
It's certainly not New Super Mario Brothers U.
Right.
Yep.
So, you know, maybe, but yeah, here's what I'll say. I'm confident that I will like it more than Sonic whatever the hell.
I am not confident that I will like it more than Sonic Superstars.
Normally, so here's the thing. We know who's making Sonic Super All-Stars.
It's R2.
Yep. It's not going to be good.
So, yes, but Mercury Steam made, like, one of the famously least liked Castlevania games.
Here's the thing. That Castlevania game is better than anything RZest has ever made by a substantial degree. Like, that Castlevania game is, like, a decent, enjoyable game, even if it's not as good as... Actually, you know what? It's better than, like, half of the Castlevania games, because they're mostly horrible.
Okay, let's look at RZest lineup, and better than Castlevania Mirror of Fate or not. We play Motion. Castlevania Mirror of Fate is better.
Yep.
Street Pass Explorers. Castlevania.
Which one was that?
I don't. Castlevania is still better. And that was not one of the memorable ones. A game called Time Travelers that is a level 5 game that I think only came out in Japan. That doesn't count. Yoshi's New Island. Is that
Castlevania
better than Castlevania?
Is definitely better than Yoshi's New Island. You know, also Castlevania features at least two different songs, so that helps.
Terra Battle, an Android game co-developed with Mistwalker. Is that better than Castlevania?
I haven't played it.
It was okay. I think it's offline now, so Castlevania wins by longevity. The 3DS version of Mario and Sonic at the Rio 2016 Olympic Games, is it better than Castlevania?
Castlevania is better.
Hey, Pikmin.
Castlevania is better, but, like, not by as big a margin.
I think Hey, Pikmin's better than, but it's,
like,
but
that's fair.
It's a coin flip.
Yeah, that's their finest work.
The giant battles in Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story plus Bowser Jr.'s Journey.
That's really specific. They just did that part?
Yeah, apparently.
Okay.
Sometimes you gotta outsource stuff.
I mean,
Balin Wonderworld, is that better than Castlevania?
Castlevania, okay. You know, controversial take.
Yuji Naka is an X factor, though.
Right. but yeah, I'd say Castlevania just edges it out.
Here's the one, Fantasian, co-developed with Mistwalker. Fantasian is absolutely better than Castlevania Mirror of Fate. However, it's only available on Apple Arcade, so who can
what
say?
What I'm really hearing is that they've made improvements over time.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, I think what you should hear is that it kind of depends on who they work with. And they're working with Sega, so it's going to be terrible.
Yeah, they are working with Sonic Team, considering that Pikmin, you know, Nintendo, the Pikmin side, which is at least in the past 10 plus years has been making good games. Pikmin 2 is not good. And Fantasian working with Hironobu Sakaguchi and Mistwalker, where Sakaguchi's like, you know, the great shit that I made 30 years ago, let's make one of those. And it's that, complete with some lecherous comments about women in the game that kind of bugged me, but the game's very good otherwise.
That part all came from Arzest, weirdly enough. So
probably, yeah. But I am a Matt, we're going to talk about Sonic Superstars and Mario Wonder and how they stack up. Because my kids like Sonic and Mario a lot. I'm screwed. Like, I have to play both of these games. It's gonna happen.
Mainline 2D Sonic has never let me down. So it's time for them to finally do it.
Really?
2D Sonic? I can't think of a mainline 2D Sonic that wasn't good.
You can't finish Sonic Origins right now.
That's not mainline. That's a collection.
It's fair.
Nobody with taste can finish any of them.
All right, now I'm going through this. Sonic 1... Like they're fine.
Better than Castlevania?
Like Sonic, or, yeah, Sonic 1, better than Castlevania, Mirror of Fate, yes. Sonic 2, yeah, I mean, the ones on Genesis, yes.
No. Especially Sonic 1. Sonic 1 is a horrible game. And I guess you wouldn't
count Sonic Advance as mainline 2D Sonic.
I kind of would. I agree it's debatable, and I think Sonic Advance is good.
Sonic the Hedgehog 4 is worse than Castlevania Mirror.
I forgot that one exists.
That's so it. I'll give you that. Terrible.
So did Sega.
Sonic the Hedgehog 4 is absolute dog shit trash. And wait, was that a Dimps game or was that R-Toon? Because that might have been R-Toon.
I think it was Dimps.
All right. Yeah, that was Dimps. Confirm me. Okay, it was Dimps. Yeah. Did Dimps die?
No, they just made Dragon Ball the Breakers.
So
they should have died. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or they at least helped with it. Now that I'm looking at this, they're also just credited for Soul Calibur 6, and that Evelyn didn't make that by themselves.
Yeah, they had a turn where I think they started helping out with like a lot of Street Fighter games and fighting games.
Okay, so they probably helped out with Dragon Ball the Breakers, which does not have its own Wikipedia page.
The last Sonic game that they touched was the 3DS version of Lost World. They used to I mean they made a lot of the Sonic Advance games, right?
Yeah, I think they made all the Sonic Advance games, and okay. I like the Sonic Advance games. I think they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're not bad. Like I think I might say Mirror of Fate is better than the Sonic Advance games, but it's like Hey Pikmin, it's close.
I think here's my take on Mirror of Fate. I think Mirror of Fate is only bad if you think that traditional Metroidvania Castlevania is good, which it isn't. So true. That kind of shifts, like, because the problems with Mirror of Fate is that it messes up traditional Castlevania, but that's best thing about it is that traditional it's bad. So that makes it inherently better.
Mirror Fate's a solid 7 out of 10 for me. I don't think it's... I forget if I even played it around long. I might not have played through all of it. But I replayed it after Samus Returns came out. And it was one of those things where, like, this is way worse than Samus Returns, but I see how they went from this to that. And, like, there's a lot of promise in what they did with Mirror of Fate. I think that Mirror of Fate, if I recall, there's a bunch of kill rooms and I don't really like those in Metroidvanias.
I do think it has better, because they implemented like some elements of the combat from the Lords of Shadow games into 2D. Like there's more of like a counter system, like what Metroid. And so I think the combat's better than most 2D Castlevania games, at least 2D Metroidvania Castlevania. So that helps. Anyway, I'll replay that before Sonic comes out, and then we can have our ranking of Wonder, Superstars, and Mirror of Fate.
Oh, and as we can finally wrap this episode up, I think this was a fun one, but obviously we are done talking about...
I'm dedicated to getting us to the point where we've spent more time talking about Mirror of Fate than we did talking about Super Mario Bros.
Okay, there is actually...
For the last episode, I have your rankings from the last episode. Updated mine. Do you guys want to know what yours were, or do you just want to rattle off what you think your rankings would be, including the new Super Mario Bros. Games?
I think I remember mine. So I can go. Starting from the worst,
is New Super Mario Bros. The first one. Then I'll throw in 2 USA just to be spicy.
That's consistent.
And then New Super Mario Bros. Wii. And then Lost Levels. Then New Super 2. New Super U. And then whatever I had before above that.
Okay. Yeah, you were consistent. Yours above that were 3, World, 1, Land, 2, Land.
Not in that order. Backwards, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Surely I didn't think Land was... Okay.
I'll start from the top just because it's easier for me to process it that way. So I think 3, World. I'm confident those are my top two.
Yeah.
Then we'll go... Then I think I had 1.
Yep.
Then Land 2.
Oh, not what you had previously. Oh,
what did I have previously?
You had Land above Land 2.
Okay. That sounds more like what I believe in my heart, instead of me trying to like bend to peer pressure of everyone telling me Land 2 is better. So yeah.
It's also like the only difference that you and John has.
Did I put both Lands above any version of 2?
Yes.
That's funny.
I mean, that's correct.
Yeah, so after Land, I would go the blob that is the New Soup series that I can't differentiate from each other. I really don't think I can set them apart from each other.
And then 2 USA and Lost Levels. All right, so mine is, I'll go from the bottom, the Lost Levels, which I had 11th, so did Matt. John had that at 8th. Next up for me is New Super Mario Bros. DS is 10th. John had that 11th. Matt had that 9th. My number 9 is New Super Mario Bros. Wii, the same as John. Matt had that at 8th. At 8th. Then I have Super Mario Land is my number 8 game. That is Matt's 4th and John's 5th. I have Land 2 above that one, which is that is my 7th, Matt's 5th, John's 4th. I have New Super Mario Bros. 2 as my 6th. You guys both have that as your 7th. I just did them for Matt. I did those for you in, I guess, reverse release order, because mm-hmm. that seems to
the correct
seems to order. Align.
Yeah.
I have Super Mario Bros. 2 is my 5th, which you guys both had as 10th. Then I had New Super Mario Bros. U is my 4th, which you guys both had as your 6th. We all had Super Mario Bros. 1 as our 3rd favorite. And then I have Mario Bros. 3 is 2 and World is 1, and you guys have it the other way around.
That all sounds about right.
The movement for my initial heat check before we started all of this, Mario Bros. 1 and U swapped for me. Super Mario Bros. 2 went a lot higher. Land dropped a little bit. Or Land 2 dropped a little bit, and everything else was kind of what I expected it to be.
Yeah, my only surprise in all of this was learning just how much I dislike 2 USA. I didn't realize going in, and then I sat and played through. I was like, oh, I kind of hate this.
That was the most surprising one, that I had a very good time with that. Like, yeah. That was probably my most pleasant surprise, was playing through that game.
I don't think that one was amazing, but I definitely do feel like, yeah, it's pretty all right.
Yeah. And then it's Land 2 took a little bit of a hit for me. Really, I'm at a point with Land 1 and Land 2 that they are not that comparable. But it's kind of like 6 of one, half dozen of the other in playing those. Like, they do different things and I enjoy them.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not
I really enjoyed Land, those this
Land,
time
Land
around.
Land 2, I have rose colored glasses with that just because it was the first game that I got with my Game Boy.
Yeah. I mean, I can, you know. With those, at least, I can say that I didn't play them until well after they came out and still really enjoyed them. Like, I think they hold up pretty well.
Yeah, Land 1 was not one that I played on Game Boy. But that's our 2D Mario Game Club. We're all done with it. We will definitely be talking about Mario Brothers Wonder, I guess in like 2 weeks, because next week will be when the game comes out, and we will have recorded an episode before then. If you want to write in any listener mail about the new Super Mario Brothers games or just 2D Mario in general, send it into connectivity at nintendoreport.com. We'll be back next week. And I think
real quick, while John can't run away, John, you doing anything on November 3rd?
What's on November 3rd?
It's something that you're doing. Yeah. The first Friday of the month.
Friday. Is this Mario Party?
Alex yes. can't make it. We need a fourth.
Oh, like probably. I could probably do that.
Yes.
Now it's on the air. You can't think about it.
I mean, I'm editing this week, so I can just take it out.
Do you have integrity?
No.
Okay.
Do you know how many, Matt, when we get in arguments, do you know how many times I slightly edit the argument if I realize I made a bad point during the argument and won't make it sound better? Constantly. So that's why I edit the game clubs. It's just in case you and I disagree on something.
Well, I think our next game club, we're not going to start it up likely until I think after Super Mario RPG is the earliest we'll do it. And we have to figure out what order, how we're going to do it. Paper Mario, because I think we really need to hold off on Thousand Year Door until the remake comes out.
Yeah, it makes sense to wait. We could do the Castlevania Lords of Shadow game club for that trilogy.
We could just do like Paper Mario 64, then Lords of Shadow, and then Super Paper Mario. And then Color Splash.
Yeah, that could just, be the
just
game
alternate.
Club.
That would help me a lot.
Yeah.
Just
I mean,
two game clubs.
Honestly,
at once.
I do feel like there's that degree of like doing like I think we should start with Paper Mario 64. But then like because we don't know when Thousand Year Door is gonna come out.
Right.
So I don't know, like, do we just burn through the Paper Mario games and wait? Or maybe we do that like a counter pick in between Paper Mario's or something.
Yeah, something that's definitely could be not fun. An RPG.
Yeah.
Like, Counterpick could be fun because that gives the opportunity to, like, not necessarily do a whole series. It's just...
Yeah.
You could give, like, game each person one. Like, each person in the club could then pick...
Yeah. Yeah, because then we have... Yeah. Yeah, we could do that.
This is how I get us to play a singular Darksiders game.
I own all of, I think I own all of them except for three. I don't think I ever bought three, because they've all been like very cheap, and I'm like, oh, I'll get to playing that or replaying that someday.
Yeah.
And I think three was the one where it's like I bought one and two on Switch very cheap, and I have not played either of them.
Yeah.
I wonder if I can time this to when I'm going to be playing the 3DS Kingdom Hearts.
Oh God.
I've played that before. It was when I stopped playing Kingdom Hearts games. I did not, I didn't even hate the 3DS Kingdom Hearts game. It's just that, like, I got through that, and I'm like, nah, I don't need any more of this shit.
Honestly, like,
everyone keeps telling me that's when it jumps the shark.
Congratulations on coming up with a game I want to play less than Paper Mario.
Well, you better win Mario Party Monthly then, John. The thing that you are definitely doing on November 3rd.
Right. Well, the nice thing is I'm reasonably safe from punishment streams because I don't know if my computer can stream or my internet can stream. So
Joe's computer can't stream, so hey.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Okay, bye.
Bye.